Welcome to My Father's House Podcast, Episode 287, Unfailing Love, No Other Gods. Pastor Sarah Velasquez delivered this message on Sunday, November 13th, 2022 in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You guys are quiet today. You all right? Okay. Buckle up. Praise God. So we are in the series. Who remembers what our series is about? Love. Yes, the unfailing love of God, right? The unfailing love of Jesus. So last week we really focused on that, just his amazing, unfailing love, that he loves you so much that he sent his son Jesus to die on the cross for each one of you, to redeem you from sin and sickness. And, you know, his love is like no other. There's no other God that died for you so that you can have a personal one-on-one relationship with him. There's no other God who wants to take up residence inside of us. Like, that's mind-blowing, right? His love transforms us. It encourages us. It lifts us up and sets us free. He freely gives to us and desires that we would love him back. So today's message is going to be maybe a little more challenging than last week. I was really lovey-dovey. We talked all about love, right? And so buckle up today, because there's two sides of this story of love. God wants to be loved back. He wants to have our whole heart, right? And so let's start with a scripture here in Psalm 115. It's the whole psalm, really. I'm going to read. It says, not to us, Lord, not to us, but to your name be the glory, because of your love and faithfulness. Why do the nations say, where is their God? Our God is in heaven. He does whatever pleases him. But their idols are silver and gold, made by human hands. They have mouths but cannot speak, eyes but cannot see. They have ears but cannot hear, noses but cannot smell. They have hands but cannot feel. They have feet but cannot walk, nor can they utter a sound with their throats. Those who make them will be like them, and so will all who trust in them. Them is idols we're talking about. All you Israelites, trust in the Lord. He is their help and shield. House of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help and shield. You who trust in the Lord, he is their help and shield. The Lord remembers us and will bless us. He will bless his people, Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless those who fear the Lord, small and great alike. May the Lord cause you to flourish, both you and your children. May you be blessed by the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. The highest heavens belong to the Lord, but the earth is mankind. It is not the dead who praise the Lord, those who go down to the place of silence. It is we who extol the Lord, both now and forevermore. Praise the Lord. Wow. Okay, so verse 1, right? Glory is due his name. It says, not to us, not our name be glorified, but his. Because, why? Because of his love and his faithfulness. That's why we give him all the glory. We pale in comparison to that. The Lord makes it clear here, though, he's not pleased with us having idols, right? He wants to be the one we trust in, not an idol of, quote, silver and gold, like it says in verse 4, made by human hands. He urges his people that he will bless those who fear the Lord, right? And all those verses at the end about the Lord will remember us and he will bless us. Right? Those that fear the Lord. So today's message is titled, No Other Gods, Gods with a little g. We're talking about idolatry today. Idolatry means worship of an image or a representation of a god. And so we're going to start off with some Old Testament scriptures. And of course, you know, the idols that the Old Testament is talking about is maybe a little bit different than how an idol can appear to our culture, to our day and age today. But we're going to look at this to get some background for what God's heart is and why he detests idols so much. So we're going to do some Bible gymnastics today. Let's look in Exodus 20, starting with verse 1. We'll do 1 through 6. This is when the Ten Commandments are given. And it's right in there, in the heart of God's commandments to the people. So Exodus 20, it says, then God gave the people all these instructions. He says, I am the Lord your God, the one who rescued you from the land of Egypt, the place of your slavery. He did that because he loved us, right? He loved his people Israel, and that's why he rescued them out of that place of slavery. You must not have any other God but me. You must not make for yourself an idol or any kind or an image of anything in the heavens or on the earth or in the sea. Verse 5, you must not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God who will not tolerate your affection for any other gods. I lay the sins of the parents upon their children. The entire family is affected. Even children in the third and fourth generations of those who reject me. But I lavish unfailing love for 1,000 generations on those who love me and obey my commands. Okay, this is strong. This is strong from the heart of God. Let's pull this apart a little bit. God's making it very clear to his people. Hey, I loved you and I ransomed you out of Egypt, but these are some instructions. These are like some parameters, because if you go outside of my love, outside of this boundary, then you're going to get hurt, basically, he's saying, right? Because he knows the devastating effects of idols on our hearts, on our lives. So he makes it very clear that they must not worship any other god but him, and that they're not to make an idol. Any other god, a false god, would be called an idol, right? So they're not to make an idol or an image of anything. And then he states very clearly that he's a jealous God. Have you thought about how he's jealous for you? He's jealous for your heart. He wants all of you and doesn't want to share you with an image, a carved something, man-made thing, or anything. He wants all of your heart, all of your devotion. So he says, I'm a jealous God. And it says that he doesn't tolerate your affection for any other thing, any other God but him. He punishes idolatry to the third and fourth generations, it says here. And of course, this is the old covenant. We know that Jesus breaks that curse, right? Under the new covenant that we are living today. Praise the Lord for Jesus. But he lavishes his unfailing love. I love that. Verse 6, it says, but I lavish unfailing love. That means his love never fails over you. It's the most powerful thing, right? His love. It's unfailing. It's unconditional. It never ceases. It never fails. It never gives up. It says, I lavish. That's not just, oh, I just give you a little morsel of it. I lavish, like abundantly, right? I lavish unfailing love for 1,000 generations. Wow, that's a lot of generations, right? I lavish unfailing love for 1,000 generations on those who love me and obey my commands. So if I'm choosing to love God and obey his commands, his unfailing love will be lavished on the thousands of generations that come after me. That is a powerful decision that I have. Because the reverse of that is that that unfailing love will not be released on the thousands of generations that come after me. Well, I'm going to do my part, not just for me, not to just be selfish and so that I can experience blessings, but so that my bloodline, the people that come after me, can be blessed and experience the full, abundant life of God that, that he sent Jesus to die on the cross so that we could have. Amen? Amen. Okay, so let's go to somewhere else where he's talking about similar things. In Deuteronomy chapter 4, God gives a warning through Moses to the people against idolatry, because the people of Israel struggled with this, right? We see this over and over as you read the Old Testament. Wow, did they struggle? So Deuteronomy 4, we can start in verse 15. It says, but be very careful. This is the warning that Moses was given by God to give to the people. He says, but be very careful. You did not see the Lord's form on the day he spoke to you from the heart of the fire at Mount Sinai. So do not corrupt yourselves by making an idol in any form. Like, don't corrupt yourself, he's saying, right? Whether of a man or a woman, an animal on the ground or a bird in the sky, a small animal that scurries along the ground or a fish in the deepest sea, no matter what the image is, what the creature is, don't do it. Don't corrupt yourself, he's saying. And when you look up into the sky and see the sun and the moon and stars, all the forces of heaven, don't be seduced into worshiping them. Wow. It's like we corrupt ourselves. He's saying, do not corrupt yourselves and do not be seduced. The Lord your God gave them to all the peoples of the earth. Remember that the Lord rescued you from the iron smelting furnace. Sounds like the lake of fire, right? Of Egypt, in order to make you his very own people and his special possession, which is what you are today. Like, he went to all of this trouble, doesn't even put it really, it's not the right word, but to rescue you from the lake of fire, from the iron smelting furnace of Egypt, slavery, bondage, terrible curse on your life, right? And he's saying, so don't corrupt yourself. Don't make carved images of whatever thing, right? Don't be seduced by, oh, look at the moon. It's so pretty. Let's worship that. No, 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 no. He's saying, look at me. Focus on me, like one of these. Keep your eyes on me, right? So let's go ahead there. We're still in Deuteronomy 4. Skip ahead a few verses to verse 23. Here it starts again. Before in verse 15, we started with, but be very careful, right? Here we're going to start again. Be careful. This is, that means take care, like pay attention, watch what you're doing, right? Be careful not to break the covenant your Lord, the Lord your God has made with you. Do not make idols of any shape or form, for the Lord your God has forbidden this. The Lord your God is a devouring fire. He is a jealous God. Says it again here. In the future, when you have children and grandchildren and have lived in the land a long time, here it is again, do not corrupt yourselves by making idols of any kind. This is evil in the sight of the Lord your God and will arouse his anger. Wow, this isn't some light fluff stuff. This is like heavy on the heart of God. Like, don't corrupt yourself. Don't break the covenant that I have made with you. You're my treasured possession. You're my treasured people. Now keep that pure is what he's saying to them, right? He's a consuming fire. Wow. He's a jealous God, the word says. He's only satisfied when his love totally consumes us. Man, that's a demanding God. Man, he wants it all. Yeah, he wants it all. He wants it all, and he deserves it all for what he did for us, right? The Lord's jealousy on our behalf should be precious to us, not like annoying. It should be, wow, he's jealous of me because he's protecting me. He wants all of me. He gives us life and wants to protect us from anything that could harm us. So that's why he's jealous. Like, don't be seduced. Don't wander out there looking for something else to satisfy and fill you. He knows that worshiping any other thing is going to destroy us. It's going to harm us. That's what sin does. The wages of sin is death, right? But his free gift, the free gift of God, is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. We looked at that last week. His love, God's love, is the motive why he commanded his children to worship no other gods. It was because he wanted them to experience his pure love, his abundant life, right? He doesn't want anything to distract his treasured people, Israel and us today, from his consuming love. That's precious. We need to honor that. Okay, going forward, let's look at Deuteronomy 6. And these are kind of repetitive, but I just prove the point. I mean, and there's a lot more verses in the Old Testament about idolatry, but to just show he's trying to get, like, come on, people, get this. Like, get how important this is to the heart of God, right? So Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 9, it says, listen, before we started with, be careful, right? And now it's, listen, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the God alone. The Lord alone. And you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength. And you must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commands that I'm giving you today. Repeat them again and again to your children. Talk about them when you are at home and when you are on the road, when you are going to bed and when you are getting up. Tie them to your hands and wear them on your forehead as reminders. Write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. So that was 4 through 9. That's Deuteronomy 6. Now let's look at 14, verse 14. It says, you must not worship any of the gods of the neighboring nations, for the Lord your God who lives among you is a jealous God. His anger will flare up against you, and he will wipe you from the face of the earth. If that doesn't put fear in someone, right? You must not test the Lord your God as you did when you complained at Massa. You must diligently obey the commands of the Lord your God. Diligently obey all the laws and the decrees he has given you. Do what is right and good in the Lord's sight, so all will go well with you. He wants to bless us. He wants to get his blessing to us, but we have to stay within his confines, right? The boundaries that he created for us. Then you will enter and occupy the good land that the Lord swore to give your ancestors. So he makes it very clear again here. The Lord opposes anything that hinders our relationship with him. He doesn't want that in the way. He is jealous. His anger, it says, will flare up against you. Again, we have Jesus today. We're under the new covenant. So praise the Lord for Jesus. But God knows the danger of us having other gods with a little g. They lure us away. They deceive us. It's a false hope that something will fill our hearts, right? And really, it only leaves us empty and worse off, because then we have the guilt that we know that we are looking to something other than God to fill us up, right? And I'm sure we could all share about, you know, what were the idols, especially before we were saved, before we met Jesus face to face, what were the things that we ran to the world to fill us up, to make us feel satisfied, you know, that we worshiped in some way. And even as believers, we need to check our hearts. We need to keep checking our hearts and allow the Lord to show us if there's something that is threatening that position of number one in our heart. So the concept of Old Testament idols is, you know, they talk about carved images, statues, man-made objects, silver and gold, as we see in another place here in Isaiah 44. Let's look at what Isaiah 44 says to us. Let's look at Isaiah 44, verse 17 through about 20. Then he takes what's left and makes his God a carved idol. He falls down in front of it, worshiping and praying to it. Rescue me, he says. You are my God. Verse 18, such stupidity and ignorance. Wow, those are strong words. That's what God's calling this. When we fall down in front of an idol that we've worshiped and saying, rescue me, you are my God. God calls that stupidity and ignorance. Their eyes are closed and they cannot see. Their minds are shut and they cannot think. Verse 19, the person who made the idol never stops to reflect. Why, it's just a block of wood. I burned half of it for heat and used it to bake my bread and roast my meat. How can the rest of it be a god? Should I bow down to worship a piece of wood? The poor, deluded fool. Verse 20, I'm not making this up, right? Is this what your Bible says? Okay, verse 20, the poor deluded fool feeds on ashes. He trusts something that can't help him at all. Yet he cannot bring himself to ask, is this idol that I'm holding in my hand a lie? Wow, this is strong, right? And we could kind of read this and go, oh, well, I'm exempt from that because I don't, you know, carve something out of a piece of wood or some statue or whatever. Hang on, friends. Although common idols in our culture that steal people's hearts away today may look different, people give them the same place that they did in the Old Testament that we see here, like in Isaiah. Whatever it is, like kind of bowing down before it, saying, rescue me, fill me up, be my God, right? But God calls that stupidity and ignorance. And he calls a person that's, you know, engaged in that a poor, deluded fool. Wow. Help us, Jesus. Right? We have the expectation that it will rescue us, like we see here in verse 17, giving it the place of, you are my God. Like, you're gonna fill me up. You're going to satisfy me to give us peace, to give us contentment, to give us whatever we're looking for. Right? No matter what the idol is, the word is very clear. The poor, deluded fool feeds on ashes. It's just a heap of ashes. It represents death, right? Ashes do. He trusts something that can't help him at all. Yet he cannot bring himself to ask, is this idol that I'm holding in my hand a lie? It's all a lie. But it's like his mind is closed and he can't even see that this thing that I'm putting my attention and my focus on, it's a lie, right? So idolatry in our lives today can take many forms. It's anything that leads to the dethronement of God from the heart, like God being the number one on the throne of my heart. So we can name a few, like placing your identity in fame, being famous, you know, needing to be part of the sophisticated elite crowd, or having fortune, being, you know, rich, your appearance, pride, money, material possessions. We see people that run after these things, right? Look at Hollywood. Wow. sports, entertainment. I mean, people like, you know, sporting events, paint their faces, go all out, shouting, praising, doing crazy things, full of a stadium, you know, worshiping these athletes and the sport itself and the teams, entertainment. There's so many things today that threaten to steal that number one place in our hearts. Ministry, yeah, but I'm serving God, I'm doing things in the church. That can become an idol. It's not about what you do. It's, I mean, serving God, yes, we're told to serve God, but who's on the throne in your heart? That's really the, it's a heart issue, right? Let us not run to do this and serve this and I'm going to do this and, you know, cross off my boxes every day to even, you know, spend time with God or pray or read the word just because, and that's my only focus. That becomes religion. And we know that that's dead, right? And that can become, you know, our ministry or the way we serve God doing those works can become an obsession where we miss God totally. And the Holy Spirit's over here going, yeah, but I wanted to speak this to you. Yeah, I wanted to use you in this way, but you just went on with your thing, your program, right? Career, somebody's career, success, accomplishments, family, children, you know, any member of your family, any addiction, phone and social media today. Ooh, you see people like on these, you know, these little things, these devices, hours addicted to like people's approval of them on social media and how many likes they get and all these things, right? The popularity contest with social media. And even this, a promise or a dream of God that's not yet fulfilled in your life, that can become an idol. Like the breakthrough that you're praying for, it starts as a good thing, right? It's not bad to pray for your breakthrough, pray for your healing or salvation of a loved one or whatever you're believing for. But when that takes over and you kind of forget about God and it's all about just thing, that's a red flag when you think that getting that thing is going to fulfill you. Like when I get my breakthrough, I'm going to have arrived. I'm going to be satisfied and filled. I know what I'm talking about, guys, because I've walked through this in the last few months. God put his finger on some things that I was chasing after, that it was threatening this number one place of God in my heart. Right. And so, it's kind of a red flag. It can be a good indication that maybe there's an idol lingering there threatening to take that number one place when the thing you don't have yet, but you're so focused on it and convinced that when you get it, you'll be complete. Uh-oh, danger, like look out, right? If you struggle with this question, God asking this question to you, like, will you still love and serve me if you never get what you're believing for? Ouch. In the way that you expect, like the way that you're praying for it to, you know, to see that breakthrough. If you're struggling with that question, like, God, I don't know if I can still love you and serve you if I don't get that thing, then that's like, because that means that you're placing your hope and your contentment and your fulfillment on that thing, that breakthrough, that promise that you're waiting for, more than on just your relationship with God and who he is, right? Because trusting God that, you know, maybe if I get the answer to the prayer differently than the way I prayed, but I trust that God is good and he works all things together for my good, and that he always has a path of life for me. It might look a little different, right? But he always has a path of life. He's not going to let me down. But the point is, where is my heart? It's walking through that thing, that process with him, right? So be careful. Be careful. Like it said in the word that we read, be careful. So what has your time, attention, or affection more than God? And I trust that the Holy Spirit, as I, you know, went through that list, that if there's something that the Holy Spirit has already kind of like, ding, ding, you know, pointed his finger out that to you. The Lord's instructions are clear. 1 Corinthians 10:14, it says, so my dear friends, we're in the New Testament now. So now we're dear friends. So, my dear friends, flee from the worship of idols. Like, run far away from it. Here's another one. 1 John 5:21. Dear children, don't you hear the love? It's because of his love that he gives us these instructions, right? In the last verse, 1 Corinthians 10:14, it was my dear friends. And now in 1 John 5, when he addresses us as dear children, like, I love you so much. Keep away from anything that might take God's place in your hearts. Keep away from it, right? That's a strong instruction to keep far away from idols because he knows the devastating effects that it will have on our lives. Okay, Jonah. I was thinking about Jonah while I was preparing this. And from the belly of the fish, Jonah prayed, right? He disobeyed God. He wanted to do his own thing. Jonah 2, 8 and 9, this is where he's in the belly of the fish. It says, this is his prayer. This is Jonah praying to God. It's like he's having this turning moment when he's in, it took him to be in the place of, in the belly of the fish to get this, to have a turn of heart. Those who cling to worthless idols, he says, turn away for God's, sorry, let me start over. Jonah 2, verses 8 and 9. It says, those who cling to worthless idols, I'm reading this in the NIV, turn away from God's love for them. But I, with shouts of grateful praise, will sacrifice to you, Jonah's saying, from inside the fish, right? The belly of the fish. What I have vowed, I will make good. I will say salvation comes from the Lord. And then verse 10, it says, and the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. Wow. He got his deliverance like that when he turned his heart, right? When he said, those who cling to worthless idols turn away from God's love for them. Like, I don't want to turn away from your love anymore, God, right? He said, I with shouts of grateful praise will sacrifice to you. He said, I'll make good on my vow to you, Lord. And then he says, salvation comes from the Lord. And with that, the fish vomited out onto dry land. Deliverance. Wow. Praise the Lord. We can be set free, just like Jonah. When we get things right, get things in line, where does your salvation come from? So let's look at Psalm 16, verses 4 through 6. Troubles multiply for those who chase after other gods. Wow, do you want your troubles multiplied? No, okay, so let's pay attention to this, right? Troubles multiply for those who chase after other gods. I will not take part in their sacrifices of blood or even speak the names of their gods. Little g. Lord, you alone are my inheritance, my cup of blessing. You guard all that is mine. The land you have given me is a pleasant land. What a wonderful inheritance. Wow. So we're going to look at some solutions here. Let's get to the happy part, Pastor Sarah. Come on. Our faithfulness to God, like our response to his love to us, assures us of the abundant life that he wants us to have. In other words, the more we reciprocate to him the love of God is over us, right? But when we line up, when we get it right in our hearts, the more of his abundant life we can receive and experience then, when we're, not, our attention isn't divided and devoted to other things. It's like, oh, he's looking at me and I'm looking at him now. Does that make sense? Yeah? You're awake? We're good? Okay. Praise the Lord. So here's some solutions. Like, how do we steer clear of these things, of getting into this trap of idols in our life? This is from the Passion Translation First Fruits Devotional. There's a quote here. It says, "Let nothing stand in the way of becoming all that God intends you to be. You must deal with anything that consumes your attention more than God, more than He does. You must deal with it. The enemy wants to lull you into complacency and lure you into temptation. Beware of idols of the heart, things that hold your attention and desire more than God does." We must pay attention to these things. Be open to the Holy Spirit. We don't need to be looking for an idol in our heart, under every bush, but be open to the Holy Spirit for Him to show you. And then it says, deal with it. It's hard. When God confronted me and said, you're not able to answer that question if you don't get this thing that I was idolizing, this breakthrough, that you wonder how you're going to still love and serve me, that was not a pretty moment in my prayer room, guys. I was on my face. Like, oh my gosh, how did I get off track just a little bit, Because it starts with, I'm praying His word and declaring His word and believing this, but it just becomes that's your whole focus, when life with God is so much bigger than that one thing, right? So pay attention to what consumes your thoughts and steals your time. Nothing must hold our hearts more than He does. Right? So if you find yourself thinking, kind of obsessing in your thoughts about something, that's a good indication. Okay, I need to run to Him in the secret place. I need to fill myself up with Him, with His word, and just let Him love on you. Let Him fill you up, His presence. Right? Keep your heart surrendered to the Lord. That's so key. It's a daily thing. Because these things can just creep in really subtly, and then all of a sudden you realize you're way off track. But it's just a little bit every day, a little thought here, a little thought there. So let's stay open and surrendered to the Holy Spirit. When He shows you something, repent, my friends. Repent from the idol. Turn your heart back to Him fully. Repenting is just turning the direction 180 degrees would be like this, right? If I was going this way, let's say I was going this way and now I'm going this way, right? That's repenting, turning away from it, saying, I'm sorry, God. I don't know if I missed it, but I did. And now I'm going in this direction, right? Here's something that helps. Psalm 37, verse 4. Delight yourself in the Lord. Right? Delight yourself in Him. Take delight in the Lord, and He will give you your heart's desires. A verse that really ministered to me in a time when I was realizing, and the Holy Spirit was just doing some restoration work in my life, and realizing that I had some things wrong, that I was, had some idols in my life, that I was looking to people to fill me up, to receive that affirmation and approval of people. The Lord spoke to me in that restoring season, Ephesians 1:23. And whenever I come across that verse, it's like there's a landmark there with that verse. There's like a history with me and God, because it says, "And the church is His body. It is made full and complete by Christ, who fills all things everywhere with Himself." And it's just that part. God fills, in different versions it says it in different ways. In NIV it says, God who fills everything in every way. And so when I felt empty and I felt like I have to get something from other people or look to something else to fill me up, this was my verse. This was my weapon to fight. It says, Christ who fills everything everywhere with Himself. So if you feel empty because you're trying to get rid of an idol in your life, fill yourself up with Him. It's Him. It's Christ. He fills every need in our hearts when we allow him, when we yield to him and allow him to do that. I want to share a testimony of something that just a really deep revelation, deep moment in my life. I figured out it was 2006. That's the year I went to Argentina. It must have been after my first few months there in Argentina. I came home and had a time. I think it was in the summertime. I came home and I was, 26 years old. I was desiring to be married, and a lot of my college friends were getting married. And so because I was home, I was going back to Argentina, but I was home, and I was able to be a part of this friend's wedding. And so I asked the Lord to minister to my heart, because it was kind of like, you know, I was longing to be married myself. And, but you want to, you know, it's this torn emotion. Like I don't want to be bitter at my friend's wedding, all these friends, you know, and I'm bridesmaid all these times. And, I just asked the Lord, will you minister to me at this wedding? Will you speak to my heart? And man, when you do that, guys, be ready, because he will. So we're at this wedding, and my friend, Mary Ellen, her father-in-law, so the groom's father, I was so drawn to him. Like, the whole time I'm watching him, and it was like, what is it about this man? And so the groom, my friend's, the man that she was marrying, his mother had died within that year. I believe she had battled with cancer or some terminal illness. And so she wasn't there. And so I was just drawn to this man who was at his son's wedding. I got just chills thinking about this. And he was like so peaceful. He was so, there was just pure joy on him. And it was like the Holy Spirit just had this like big highlighter, like beam of light. Like I couldn't get my eyes off him. It was almost like a little weird, you know. It was just like, what? And I didn't know why, but I was just like drawn to this, to kind of watching this man. And I was like, you know, he I don't know how many months previous he had buried his wife. And like, but yet he's at his son's wedding, and he's peaceful and he's joyful. And like, there was this like big question mark in my heart. Like, how could that be? You know, I was wrestling with this. And so we went through the wedding, and, you know, it was beautiful, and we had a great celebration. And in the next few days, I was sitting with the Lord, and I was asking him about that. And like, what was it about that man? Like, why was I so drawn to him? And how was he so centered? Like, how was he so peaceful and joyful in a moment like that, that could potentially have been really painful for him? And you know what the Lord spoke to my heart? He said, he's always had me at the center. He's always had me at the center of his heart. And here's me, who was desiring to be married, thinking that another person is going to fill me up. And I didn't understand how he could be happy and joyful and still have a smile on his face and enjoy his son's wedding celebration, because, like, to my understanding, like, his world should have been totally crushed. But God said, no, the secret is, and he was a Christian man, he loved Jesus, and you could see it. He said, he's always had me at the center. Yeah, he misses his wife, but he's centered in me. And I was just like, wow. I will never forget that. I'll never forget that moment that he spoke that so strongly to my heart. That God wanted to be at the center of my heart. And I don't even think I didn't walk that revelation out until years later, when that same issue kept, you know, creeping up, like, because it'll still be there. Just like if you don't take care of the fall leaves when they're before the snow falls, when you shovel snow, the leaf that you didn't deal with and get rid of, it's still going to be there, right? And so Wow. Let's let the Lord be at the center of our hearts. So in conclusion, Proverbs 3, verse 26, it says, "For the Lord will be your confidence, firm and strong, and will keep your foot from being caught in a trap." So it's time for us to let go of fleshly things which we have held firmly to fill us up, to satisfy ourselves, and to truly recenter our hearts on Him. He's a jealous God, remember, and He doesn't want to share. He doesn't want us to share, like He can't share our affection with something else. It's time for us to put our trust and our confidence in Him and Him alone. He's poured out His love to each of you, and He wants you to fully receive that and pour that back to Him, right? The sky is the limit when you return that love and devotion only to Him. Like, we're unstoppable. And man, we're in the end times, guys. He's calling for an end times army, a bride without spot or wrinkle. And how can that bride and that end times army be like over here, around, distracted by other things? We're not going to be effective. We're not going to be the end times army and the beautiful bride without spot or wrinkle unless we're fully devoted to Him. Amen? Because, man, there's some shaking. It's already happening. And we need to be fully devoted. We need to be like that we're so 150% committed to God and just centered on Him in our whole lives. We can't be and don't want to be a distracted or uncommitted or unloyal bride. Basically, like prostituting, like when you read the book of Hosea, right? Read the book of Hosea. It's a metaphor for us. Like, don't prostitute yourself. Give your heart fully to the Lord. This is a serious, you know, message that He says to us today, but it's because He loves us. And He has a purpose and a plan and wants us to be that strong and powerful end times army. Right? So remember Psalm 16 that we read at the beginning, 4 through 6, that says, "Troubles multiply for those who chase after other gods. I will not take part in their sacrifices of blood or even speak the names of their gods. Lord, you alone are my inheritance." Let this be our prayer, right? As we close. "Lord, you alone are my inheritance, my cup of blessing. You guard all that is mine. The land you have given me is a pleasant land. What a wonderful inheritance." Let that be our heart cry, right? Because we don't want our troubles multiplied. We don't want to chase after other gods. Lord, we come to you today and we say, you alone are our inheritance. You are our cup of blessing. Guard all that it is mine. You have given us a pleasant land. What a wonderful inheritance we have in you. Thank you, Lord. So let's just turn to prayer. And I also want to just open the altar. I mean, how can we give a message? How can I give a message like that and not give us an opportunity? I know you could do it in your heart or in your home, but the altar is open. If you need to repent, and friends, like I told you, I've been there, and God's put His finger on some things at different phases and stages of my life. Let us stay on the altar. If you find and the Holy Spirit shows you that you get off and that you're chasing after something else and your focus has gotten off on something else, repent. And He is just and faithful to forgive, the Bible says. So the altar is open. I'm just going to lead us in prayer. And if you want to, you know, bow yourself down and repent and ask forgiveness for getting off track in any way in your heart, then please do that. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. We sang earlier today in the worship, purify our hearts. Well, you give us an opportunity right here and right now to purify our hearts. Purifying our hearts may not feel good, but God, if there's something that's in the way with my relationship with you, if there's something that's hindering that relationship of love that you long for, that you desire, that you poured out your blood on the cross for me to have, then I want it out. I want it out of the way. I don't want any stepping stone. I don't want any hindrance. I don't want any obstacle for me to pour my love back to you, God, and to say thank you for what you did. And forgive me, Lord. Forgive me, Lord, for getting my eyes off of you and maybe on to something else that I thought could fill me up, whether it's a carved image or it's just something that I've enthroned and allowed to creep into that number one place, the throne of my heart. Oh, forgive me today, Lord. Forgive me, Lord. Forgive me, Lord, for that. Thank you, Jesus, that you are faithful and just to forgive. Thank you, Lord. We turn our hearts back to you, Father God. We turn our hearts. We say we're sorry and we repent. We make a conscious, intentional decision to turn 180 degrees and say, get us back on track. We put our heart back in its place. You are my first love. And I want my heart to stay there on the throne. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that because of you, that the Father God, like he said in the Old Testament, that won't be true for me today, that you will just wipe me off the face of the earth, that you give me a chance to repent and come back to you wholeheartedly, to come back to the Father, that you connect me to the Father. Lord Jesus, thank you for your blood so that I can be in right standing with you. I am the righteousness of you in Christ Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for cleansing us today, cleansing our hearts. And Holy Spirit, just help us to walk. Help us to, like, prevent our hearts from leading astray because we're so enamored with you, because we're filling ourselves up on your presence every day and on your word to us, Father God. Help us delight ourselves in you. There's so much to delight in. You are glorious. You are a wonderful Father, beautiful Savior. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Thanks for listening to this episode of My Father's House podcast. We hope you'll subscribe to hear our latest updates. My Father's House is a non-denominational Christian church located at 5712 Bass Road in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We invite you to visit us by checking schedule information at mfhfw.org. At our website, you can also support the work of My Father's House with your tax-deductible donation. We pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers.